2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 11. You'll find it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The words read as this. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Suffice it to such a man is this punishment, which is inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it. In the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
My God, my God.
For we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. You may be seated. While you're seated, I just want you to hear these last three verses again. Verses 9, 10, and 11 says, for to this end also did I write, that I might know that the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. And if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I just want to spend a brief moment asking this question. Where's the proof? Where's the proof? Anybody who's familiar with 1 Corinthians, you know that this is the second letter to that very church in Corinth. He continues to address the converts there. In his first letter, which is 1 Corinthians, he addresses issues within the church in hopes that they would live and operate in the spirit and not in the flesh. Paul spoke in his first letter regarding disunity, immorality, celibacy, marriage and divorce, food dedications to idols, head coverings, and many other things necessary for Christians to stand firm in the faith. He continues to share that even at the greatest of these is love. He gives us his famous love chapter. That even if I speak with the tongue of the men and of angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. He lets us know that even some of the things we do in part, when that which is perfect comes, that which was done in part will be done away with. But something happened between 1 Corinthians and what we now know as 2 Corinthians. To really tell you the truth, this is a third letter to the church of Corinth. Historians and theologians will tell you they believe there was another letter written. However, it was never discovered. And it should have been the 2 Corinthians, but now this one is 2 Corinthians. This is the letter. The problem is, right in our text, we're dealing with a matter that seems a little unique for Paul, because in most cases, Paul doesn't single a person out except to make sure everybody's aware of who's doing work. Okay, y'all remember he talked about Chloe, and he talked about some other folk that were doing some work, Epaphras, and some other folk that were doing work for the ministry. But here is a unique turn for Paul. Somebody wasn't named. We don't know who it is. We don't know why it is. We don't even know what their position is. But it seems obvious that in the second letter to the Corinthian church, somebody messed up. We don't know if it was the church leader placed in Paul's stead, someone who was a lay leader, or just a pew member, but somebody in the church messed up. And all Paul wanted the church to understand was, in this letter, he shares with them about forgiving him and comforting him, lest we be swallowed up by such sorrow. In other words, if we keep worrying about what they're doing, we're going to be overcome by the same grief we grieve in ourselves. Did you ever notice that? When the church never goes ahead because it's always worried about an issue of somebody else, and they keep belaboring the issue, you get frustrated yourself. Church don't move forward. So he comes up with this ingenious moment in verse number 9. He said, to this end, I write you that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient to all things. Paul stops here and says, look, after everything I taught you, I need to really see if you got any matter in you. I've been with you a while, because I like Jesus, don't I? When Jesus was with the disciples, how long have I been with you? What did you not get? How long have I been with you and you didn't learn the lesson the first, fourth, and fifth time? Now here, Paul saying something a little different. I'm going to prove. Check the proof. That's King James translation. Other translation says test you. That's all proof means. Proof is just basically checking the quality or the state of having been tested or tried, especially unyielding hardness. That's why Paul said somewhere else in another letter, endure hardness as a good soldier. Because life is going to come, it's going to try you every now and then. So what proof do you have? That's what Paul was asking. He was asking the same thing. He said, now, even in the first Corinthians chapter 5 and 9 and 10, he talked about certain things we shouldn't be doing and things we shouldn't have part in. And then he even reminds us, Satan might uses bitterness of spirit to make ineffective our witness and life of Christ. You know, the devil always can make us out alive. We saying amen now. But what happens after the benediction, after you leave church, after you get down the road, around the corner, down the bend? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, step foot out of bed and get on the bus, get on the subway, get in the office in the morning. How soon will the devil make you forget that you just answered the question that we just sang a moment ago? Do you have it to the answer? Yes, I got it. Everlasting life. Make you think that you didn't have any everlasting life. That's right. After someone got on your everlasting nerve. Yeah. 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 He reminded us now in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians that for such as false prophets and false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel for Satan. Do not marvel. Don't get excited. Don't get caught up. Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We get caught up in stuff that's really not relevant to salvation. Because someone could spin, someone could hoop, someone could twirl, someone could sing in the key of E, F, and G.
All right.
I don't know why I went there, but anyway. And mesmerize our socks off only to live nothing in this walk that we call Christianity. However, Paul says, even when people like them, we must forgive them. Yeah. Where did Paul get that from? My mind goes back to Matthew chapter 18, around about the 18th verse. Jesus gives a parable about a king who pulled in a guy who owed him so much. And he was getting ready to give him a sentence of jail to where the man, where it was ordered to sell, not only that he be sold into slavery, I'm sorry, not jail, but he was to be sold into slavery along with his wife and his children and everything he had be sold that he owed and pay off the debt. But the man fell down before the master and cried or begged him, please be patient unto me that I will pay it all. Yes. The master was filled with compassion, filled with pity, that he released him and forgave the man his debt. Yes. But you know how some of us do. When the man left the king, he went around and he found, and I like how the New Living Translation Bible put it. He said when he found a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. The problem was, when he found him, he grabbed him by the throat. As New Living Translation said, he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. That same guy begged and asked him for forgiveness. That he wouldn't. He threw him in jail. Word gets back to the master and said, hey, look, you know the guy that owed you all this millions of money? You let him go, you forgave him his debt, and yet he collared the guy for not even half of what he owed you.
Wow.
Threw him in jail. And he was so angry that he sent the man to prison and tortured him until he had paid the entire debt. Where is the proof of forgiveness? That's what this is really all about. The prodigal son story, we love the prodigal son, we love the story, but really the prodigal son was a story, many stories in a story.
Yes.
And the part that I like about it today is the part of the father, because the father was forgiving when his son came home. He didn't go and bash him about the fact that he went and spent all that he had. He didn't bash him about the fact he acted beside himself. He didn't bash him in nothing. All he did was let him go, do what he did. But he kept waiting. He kept waiting until that day he see him coming down the road. And the scripture said he ran and hugged him and kissed him. Brought him back in, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, had a party for him. Even after the chiding of the eldest son who got on him saying, how can you do this? You ain't never did this for me. Hold up, Slim, you missed it the first time. Everything I got still that I have belong to you. But here he is. He was once lost, now he's found. I forgave him, why can't you? Joseph learned a great lesson in forgiveness. Yes. After being tortured, after being by his own brothers thrown in a hole, left for dead, only to be snatched back out of it, sold to Bedouin travelers, and sold into slavery, end up in Potiphar's house. Sounded like Miss what's that dude's name? Rose? Charlie Rick sounded like Rose. He had a scandal put out on him.
Oh wow, right.
Thrown into jail. The butler and the baker. Well, the butler died. The baker forgot it.
All right.
2 years later. Now, sometime he meets before his brothers, and he told his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he able to spare him the life of his family, but to spare the life of his nation. Yes. Through forgiveness.
Yes.
Sometimes forgiveness is not always easy.
All right. Amen.
I should know. Roland, every now and then, there's a certain number that rolls through my head. And when that number rolls through my head, I have to admit my body boils because of the number that's rolling in my head. And I feel like I have been done a disservice for that number that's rolling in my head.
Yes.
Because that's the number of what I have to give up at somebody else's expense.
All right. Yes.
I shared with y'all a few years ago, I ran into that individual who caused me this grief to where I wanted to be like the guy in the parable that Jesus gave. When I saw him, I wanted not only to choke him, I wanted to run him over.
That's right.
Considering the fact I was coming out of McDonald's with my lunch in my hand, and I had a problem with not giving up my food.
All right.
But my blood began to boil, and I got so enraged when I saw this individual. I really wanted to, like I said, Brother Jackson, I wanted to choke the life out of him. Collar and all. Title and all. Papers and all. I wanted to put my hand around his neck and squeeze it until he stopped breathing.
Yeah.
Told y'all another time I went looking for him. Cruising at 4 a.m. through a part of Virginia I should not have been in. Till the Lord told me to go home. But I learned through those experiences. But I could go back to the beginning. When I saw him, all I could do was hug him.
Yeah.
I said, brother, I forgive you. But we know this will never happen again. But I haven't learned a valuable lesson in this. Because I did not know God was going to test me one day. Every now and then, as Warren Wiersbe says, forgiveness is the medicine that helps to heal broken hearts. How many people have broken your heart? Who have led you astray? Who have run amok in your life? Told you some things and promised you the world only to snatch the rug from under your feet. And yet, you say, I forgive, but I can't forget. But if you can't forget, then you ain't really forgiven. But Reverend, you mean to tell me that even though I forgive him, I gotta forget it? Yes.
Yes.
Because even in the beginning of the parable, Peter asked Jesus the question, how many times must I forgive my brother? Yes. Seven times? No, Jesus says no, 70 times seven.
Yes.
Not that he was trying to tell Peter you gotta keep a track for 490 times, but usually somewhere around about 100 to 200 times, you gonna forget. So you have to start all over again. Wow. So one thing I learned, some points I learned in this, that first going back to what Jesus was sharing, first point is, if you can't forgive, God will not forgive. Jesus reminded us that, and saying that if you can't forgive the sins of your brother, God will not forgive you. Got quiet. I know you thought he was the one. I know she was supposed to be the one, but she took your heart and everything else with it. But you have to let it go. Almost like, I was going to go somewhere else. I was going to go Erica Badu, let it go, let it go, let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Because Jesus said, but if you forgive the trespasses, forgive not the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. That's Matthew. And then in Mark says same thing, something like it said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. In order to forgive, you got to be willing.
That's right.
You got to be willing. Because if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you.
All right.
Secondly, you got to ask yourself the question, have you been tested?
Wow.
All right.
The only way you can test is to prove that something, it has been tested.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, we've been tested more times than we can
count. Yeah.
Well,
Sometimes
we still think we in the test.
All right.
Truth be told, we are in the test. Because that's where the 73rd Psalm keeps coming into my spirit, because God, you are truly good to Israel, but as for me, I got issues.
All right.
God, how can you let people who don't know you live large and in charge? I'm doing everything I know how, and yet they still walk with them, and I'm supposed to forgive them? I'm supposed to forgive them that lied on me. I'm supposed to forgive them that told on me.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to forgive them that set me up.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to even forgive even those who were in the church that talked about
me. All right.
Because as somebody said, ain't no hurt like church hurt.
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about.
Lord Jesus.
And I'm supposed to forgive that. And God says,
yes.
Man. But Lord, you don't know. Have you been tested?
Wow.
And if you haven't been tested, then wait a minute. It's coming.
All right.
Then if you haven't been tested, you better check and see whose side you're on. Because if you're on the devil's side, naturally you ain't gonna be tested. He's gonna keep you drugged.
Yeah.
That's why folk addicted now, because they keep themselves numb to reality.
Yeah.
But if you've been tested, trust me, you've been lied on, you've been talked about, you've been mistreated,
you've been
mute, you've been scorned, you've been everything since the day you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Folk don't like you because they just don't
like you.
They don't even know me.
Yeah.
I gotta forget them too. Yeah, but they don't know me. I don't know them. Forgive them anyway. Forgive them. Lastly, my favorite phrase, Lynette, you know I love this one. And this is the point. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. That's the true sign of forgiveness. When you can take that same attribute and then you can say to those who mistreat you, those who hurt you, those that scandalize you, those like Mephibosheth's nurse that dropped you, whomever, I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yes. All right.
Because now, if you can't do that, then God can't forgive you. And here's how I know this. I thank God that he, talking about Christ now, loved and forgave me.
Yeah.
How do I know? When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
For they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking about those who crucified him at the foot of the cross. He's not talking about those that were gathered around the base of Calvary watching this proceedings going on. He wasn't just talking about his fellows that gave up the ghost when he got picked up in the night time in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he was talking about all of us who would one day forget about him. One day crucify him afresh. Who would deny knowing him. Who would even act like, we, even after being in church, we ain't never been in church. Come on, don't act like we always coming out, we savoring the Holy Ghost after we leave the service, after the amen, and oh Lord, we still feel the glory. No, you sit there bumping and grinding. That's why I know I can say I love you and ain't nothing you can do about it, because he loved me and wasn't nothing I can do about it. He died on the cross. Well, I ain't going to say nothing he could do about it. He could have done a whole lot, but he chose to stay on the cross.
Yes. Yes.
He made the ultimate choice to forgive me by hanging on a cross, dying for my sins, and raising up from the grave, giving me salvation.
Yes.
So why can't I do the same thing? What's the proof? The proof is the power of forgiveness.
Right.
If you're able to forgive, watch what God does for you.
Yeah.
If you're able to tell the person or tell the people or tell the thing or tell whatever it is that caused you harm, not just physical, mental, psychological, whatever, called you out of your name, I dare you to forgive them.
All right.
I dare you to look, if you can get to them, look them square in the eye. Say, thank, you know what? I dare you to go and do this one. Since we're going there, I dare you to go and say, thank you.
All right.
For taking me through what I'm going through.
Yes.
I dare you, Karen, to look that issue square in the face. Don't have to say, I love you and nothing you can do about it. Just thank them.
Yeah.
Because you know what thanking them will do? Make them wonder.
Yeah.
Shamia, why they thanking me? Why are you thanking me?
All right.
Just say thank you.
Yeah.
For everything you gave to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you caused me to go through. Thank you for the heartache, the headache, the bellyache, the everything else that ate.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of that that you gave me.
Yeah.
That didn't benefit me one bit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And let them just smile like they really done you a great favor. You didn't know. You did them a great favor.
Yeah.
Because scripture reminds us that, you know, as we be good, we heat coals. They be wondering, thank you. You're welcome. Yeah. But what did I do?
Yeah.
See, they think they did some great stuff. They think they did some great work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the matter of speaking, they did.
Because
Billy, they just made me sharp in the law.
Yeah.
They made me taller in God.
Yeah.
They made me more holier than I thought I was.
Yeah.
They made me more stunning in the foundation.
Yeah.
I'm firmer now in how I handle things.
Yeah.
So what they call you, everything but a child of God.
All right.
Stop getting mad when folk call you out your name.
Yeah.
I know they're not supposed to, but say thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a what? Thank you.
Yeah.
You ain't no good. Thank you.
Yeah.
black, thank you. You poor, thank you. You sure is a thank you. Because in all of that, you forgive them.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Just as Jesus did. For they know not what they do.
Yes.
You don't know who I am.
Yes.
Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Some of y'all used to remember back in the day.
Yes.
You don't mess with me because you don't know where I'm from.
Yes.
You don't know who I am.
Yes.
You don't know where I'm from.
Yes.
But I can say it. I can flip it now.
Yes.
You don't know who I am.
Yes.
You don't know who I belong to.
Yes.
See, you don't know my daddy.
Yeah,
some of y'all remember yesterday. Look, if I can, I go get my dad.
Yeah.
That was physical dad.
Yeah.
But now I ain't even got to get my big dad.
Yeah.
I just know who I am in my dad.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
So thank them.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive them. And be mindful, as Paul says, for this, I want to check the proof. Is it really in you?
Yeah.
Where's the proof? I don't care. Hey, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. The things we do in the worship experience is great, wonderful, and grand, but that's not my issue. My concern is, where's your proof on the outside? When it really matters, where the rubber really meets the road. Do you have what it takes, or do you just need to ask God, fill me up some more? God, I'm not completely there yet. Help me to overcome that which I still yet to overcome. Because like Paul ended in our text, there, the devil even knows how to get to you.
Yeah, right.
The devil does you like mama does you when you had that booby. Oh, come on, baby, it's gonna be all right. They don't love you. I love you.
Yeah.
But can't nobody love you like God loves you.
Nobody.
One thing about the devil: when the devil loves you, he's gonna leave your heart broken.
Yeah.
I think I got some witnesses.
Yeah.
He gonna leave you broke.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Busted and disgusted.
Yeah.
And ladies, and you ain't the only one.
Yeah.
Brothers, your bank account dried up and you wondering, where all my money go?
All right.
I only got shoes in the closet and all my clothes gone.
Yeah.
How come I got a notice saying I'm being evicted?
All right.
But thank you.
Thank you.
For what you've done.
Thank you. Yes.
Sound like when we were visiting in the Bible Museum, I heard wafting. Some of y'all gonna catch this in a minute. I heard wafting in the distance. A very familiar voice.
Yes.
Said, I thank you.
Yes.
For how you brought me.
Yes. Sir.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
For how you taught me.
Yes.
Thank you for how you kept me.
Yes.
Thank my God, because he never
yeah,
left me. And when I heard Mahalia Jackson's voice, I said, look, I almost got happy in the museum. Even though the museum ain't set up for salvation, I felt the move of God just for a brief moment in hearing those words, because it was helping me with the message to thank God for being so good to me. Because it ain't about the stuff he gave me. It ain't about the family or the children he gave me, but it's about the fact that I still clothed in my right mind. I might not have a dime to my name, but still, I am somebody in here.
Yeah.
I might not have a closet full of clothes, but I'm still somebody in here.
Yeah.
I might not have the mansion on the hill, but the little house I got is good enough for me.
Yeah.
I might not be driving the brand newest or the whatever. I might not have the greatest job, but I thank God for everything that he's made for me.
Thank you, Lord.
And for that, I can say thank you.
Yes.
And then I can say to my frenemies and my haters, thank you too. No, I might not be living the life I wanted to live, but I think I'm living a life better than I could have lived. Thank you that it wasn't you, or you, because it could have been another way. But I thank God with the life that I have lived now, with the people who are in my life today. I even thank God for the church that I'm in right now. Be the biggest on the planet, but I can tell you one thing, they got great hearts.
Yeah.
And for that, I can say thank
you.
I thank God, because even through adversity, God has maneuvered us where we should be mad.
Yeah.
We said, you know what, it's funny. Everybody that came to us, Jan, and we kept saying to them the same thing, thank you.
Yeah.
They tried to mess us up.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we said, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
They talked about us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all ain't gonna make it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't nobody. Thank you.
Yeah.
But if y'all come with us, we can make it. No. Thank you anyway.
Thank you.
But if you do this, it's gonna cost you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where's the proof?
Yes.
It's when you can stand up and smile.
Yes.
And there's a tornado standing right behind you.
Yeah.
And somebody say, aren't you scared? No. Because it's in Him I move, live, and have my being.
Yes.
Him I trust every day and every hour. Him that I give my all to. And if I give Him my all, He will return it back to me.
Yes, He will.
If I trust Him and never doubt, I know God will bring me out.
Yes.
Are you willing? Are you trusting?
Yeah.